Sports. The Curve Crew are back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Halfway through the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Saturday morning, this segment brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys has become known as the world's best jersey customizer. Keener's knowledge of jerseys is unsurpassed. If you want awesome jerseys for your team or have a jersey you want customized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or find them on your next opponent.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Dave Jamieson. Dave is the host of the Dave Jamieson Show on TSN 1260 in Edmonton. Dave, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Our Dave, does Connor McDavid have any points yet?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? I like his chances of making this a career.
Yeah, you think he's going to be able to make it in this league, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it looks good.
I was going to ask if they've already started to commission the statue of McDavid outside of the new arena that'll be built in Edmonton eventually.
I tell you what, if you put that to a vote, I think it would be overwhelmingly in favor of go ahead and start working on it.
It is really remarkable what Connor McDavid is doing since his return from injury. 12 points in the 6 games. He had that 5-point night against the Leafs on Thursday night, and the tongue's wagging right throughout the hockey world. We're going to talk about this on our next segment, but Dave, can you make the argument right now that Connor McDavid is the Art Ross favorite next season?
Yes, I could. I guess the only thing is, will the NHL figure him out? And I don't know what that looks like because on any given night when you're watching him play, Connor McDavid is not just the best Oiler, he's the best player of both teams on the ice. And the way he skates, and I asked a former NHLer, I said, look, in a league where lots of players skate extremely well, how is it that he makes it look like he's that much better? And you're trying to draw comparisons to other sports right now, and a player like a Steph Curry shoots threes better than anybody else in the NBA. You've had Jordan, you've had other, and I don't think we've seen someone skate this explosively, and he does many other things really well, and we're watching something quite incredible with the Oilers. You just hope that they get enough around him that he isn't just a really good player on a mediocre team.
And Dave, how much more impressive was that 5-point performance, considering that it was against the team that he cheered for as a kid?
Well, I think it's probably Connor McDavid, if you've seen any of his interviews, he doesn't reveal very much of himself, and that's fine. He's a young kid. Hockey players historically are not great interviews, but I think the idea that was the team of his youth, I'm sure he will tuck that away under a special place. But that particular file is going to get fairly full, I think, with special performances. But I think the first time you do it against the team that I think a lot of Leaf fans would have liked to have seen him there, will hold a special place for first goal, first hat trick, all that kind of stuff. First 5-point game against the Leafs. I like his chances of doing 5-point games again, though.
Yeah, I think you, me, and everyone else in the hockey world likes those chances.
Yeah.
We're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Dave Jamieson is our guest. Dave is, of course, the host on TSN 1260 in Edmonton, our sister station. Now, Dave, he's been playing with Benoit Pouliot and Jordan Eberle, and they've certainly been the recipient of a boost in their point totals as a result of Connor McDavid. Is that the line you think going forward? I mean, both of Pouliot and Eberle are under contract for another 3 more seasons. Can you see that being a line that moves forward as the number one line, let's say, for the Oilers for obviously the foreseeable future?
Well, the quick answer would be yes, but the Oilers find themselves in a position where they've got Connor McDavid, they've got Taylor Hall, They've got some other terrific young assets, but they're not a good hockey team, not even close to it. And they have to get better. They believe they've got goaltending for the now and the future in Cam Talbot and Lauren Boisois, but what they don't have is a defense that's good enough to win or even compete at the NHL level.
Right.
They do have Oscar Klefbom. They do have Darnell Nurse. Brandon Davidson is proving to be a very good NHL defenseman, but they're going to have to get something there better quick. And so, you know, as maybe for some Oiler fans, the idea of breaking up this young core, I mean, it's so tantalizing when you see what they're doing in Eberle, and Hall has had a terrific year. He was an all-star. Somebody's going to have to go. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins injured right now. So, yes, the line going forward, I wouldn't understand why you would break it up given what they're doing, but I think what might break it up is a trade. And I'm not suggesting that either Eberle or Pouliot is on the trading block, but if somebody, you know, if a right-handed shooting defenseman who can move the puck well, who can, do things you would expect out of a number one or two defenseman comes available, well, the Oilers are going to have to put some stuff in a package. And so I think the only thing that, you know, would break up that line would be if somebody, you know, put forward that kind of a package and Peter Chiarelli said, okay, let's do it.
Dave, you mentioned the defense earlier and some of the younger defensemen on the Edmonton Oilers, guys like Oscar Klefbom and Darnell Nurse. But the veteran defensemen for the Edmonton Oilers, Justin Schultz, Andre Sequeira, who the Oilers acquired in the offseason, they've been somewhat of a disappointment, I would say, and you cover the team and you watch them more than I do. If the Edmonton Oilers are going to make a move to acquire defensemen, are they going to make that move before the trade deadline, or do you think they wait until the summer?
Well, look, let's set aside five-point nights from Connor McDavid for a moment. The playoffs really look to be done. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the hard number that says they're out, but it looks highly unlikely. Now, that said, can you make a smart deal? I mean, whatever trade you're making is not to push you into the playoffs now. It's to lay a good, better foundation than what you have currently. And you're absolutely right. Sequeira has been, I would just say, okay. There have been periods early in the season when he looked not very good at all and was struggling handling the puck. Justin Schultz has been an unmitigated disaster. Not only is he not, and he never was, a particularly strong guy on the puck defending physically, he has no presence in front of his own net, the offensive abilities that got him in the NHL have vanished. He is no longer, he's no longer effective. And you feel badly, you don't like saying that about a player. But his game has vanished, and I don't know if he has any, if there's any value on the market for Justin Schultz right now, unless somebody thought, okay, look, we need a depth defenseman for the playoffs, and this guy, he could come off the bench and maybe ignite a power play once or twice, but it's just not going to happen in Edmonton. And so they're really in a strange spot right now in terms of what they need to do with this defense. The future looks terrific. I mean, Darnell Nurse is playing more than I think they want him to play, but he's earned it. Klefbom has been out for a long period of time with a broken knuckle and a staph infection and kind of a freak thing with he got what's called skate bite, and then it got infected, and he's been out for a long, long time. They need him desperately back there. They really, Oscar Klefbom's value rose in his absence. So I believe that Chiarelli would make a deal for next season as opposed to a trade deadline thing for an impactful defenseman.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our guest is Dave Jamieson of TSN 1260. We're talking about the Oilers ahead of the Jets' visit to Edmonton later on tonight. Dave, another one of those guys on the Oilers roster on the forward group who's going to be a UFA at season's end is Teddy Purcell. You know, it stands to reason that there's a for sale sign on him. He's a guy who can put up some goals, put up some points in the NHL. He'd be an interesting trade deadline acquisition for a lot of teams.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be. I mean, he's, if there is such a thing as sort of a prototypical trade deadline guy, not necessarily a star in the first line guy by any stretch, but a player that the team could pick up to give you some depth, maybe slot in if you've had an injury, you're a playoff bound team, You know you're going to get some measure of productivity out of Teddy Purcell. Not a physical player, but that's not what you're looking for necessarily. You just want somebody that can slot in with a pretty high level of skill, skates not too bad, who can help you, again, help you but not hurt you, and, again, manage your expectations when you get a guy like Teddy Purcell. I mean, he's produced when he's had, when he's been on a good line, and there are many nights you forget he's out there.
Dave, we haven't had you on since Cam Talbot signed his 2-year contract with the Edmonton Oilers. It was a 3-year contract. Drew's giving me four fingers. I thought it was a 2-year deal. What did you think?
He'll eventually get you. Went from 2 to 3 to 4. I'll stop you at that point.
As long as I just keep counting, Dave, 5, sure. 6, 7. What did you think of the Cam Talbot contract? Did you like it? And do you expect him to play tonight against the Winnipeg Jets?
I do. They brought up Laurent Boussois. The goaltending situation's been really kind of fascinating this year with the Oilers. Cam Talbot had, he was in, he was out. There were questions around, when the season started, and he, would have a good game, and then there'd be some off nights, and, he has to wear some of that. The defense in front of him was not, and still isn't, particularly good. Then you had Anders Nilsson, who would have a stretch where it looked like maybe they were going to have a 1 and a 1A in Edmonton, and how were they going to manage that? And then Cam Talbot has really asserted himself just prior to the All-Star break, and then obviously post-All-Star break. They had that tough run where they lost in Brooklyn, and they got thrashed there, and then the night before in Montreal, and you thought, oh my God, now they're back to having no goaltenders, and when at one point it looked like they might have two who could, split the load equitably. Talbot is the guy. He is the goalie for now, and what now might mean is a couple more years. Laurent Boussois, who has been down in Bakersfield, he was an all-star. He's a former Edmonton Oil King. He is a goalie that they feel, and the Oilers have had trouble, like a lot of teams, developing their own goalie. They feel like they've got something here with him. Nilsson is down in the farm. Whether he can play himself back to being an NHLer, who knows, but his game vanished. He looked awful in Brooklyn. I mean, he was pulled early after, I think, 3 goals on 10 shots, and it was one of those games where you thought, okay, this might be it for him in Edmonton. I mean, he may bounce back, who knows, but they feel now Talbot and, seemingly for the short run, you've got Laurent Boussois there, and they'll probably try and spot him in to get him some NHL time.
Dave, given the Oilers' struggles on defense, what should be read into the fact that Griffin Reinhart can't crack the defense for more than the 15 games he played earlier in the year?
Well, it's a funny story with Griffin Reinhart. The book on him in junior was, I mean, he was, I call it dominant, at least a very good defenseman at that level. But foot speed, you kept hearing, when you hear whispers of foot speed and when you hear someone describe a player as deliberate, I think that's code for slow, okay? And he is many nights, and again, he wasn't alone, but he had a horrendous game in Brooklyn. I mean, it was one of those where you thought, I think he was -4 or -5 on the night. I mean, it was just awful on so many levels. But what's intriguing about him is he's got a very high hockey IQ. He's smart when he's not rushed. But the problem is in the NHL, there aren't many games and times when you're not rushed. So he's either going to have to figure it out and get more time in the minors because he, drafted by the Islanders, got a little bit of time there, but largely in the minors. The Oilers trade for him. They gave up a reasonable amount. He comes to Edmonton, and of course, he's Paul Reinhart's son. He played for the Oil Kings, so I think there was a local boy makes good kind of feel to the story. You just hope that he gets enough time where he can get his game to the level it needs to be to play consistently in the NHL. It's just not right now. And many nights when he does play, not a physical guy, he's not small, but he's not a big guy, so he can't make an impact physically on a game. He's going to be one of those defensemen that you will, if he fully develops, he'll be a make very few mistakes, but you may not notice him very often, which is fine. You can carve out a good career doing that, but he's not there yet.
Dave, we'll let you go on this last question. It's pretty clear the Oilers are going to get probably a top 5 pick come July at the NHL draft.
Yeah.
Would you think it's more likely that the Oilers trade away one of their really big name players from their active roster, or trade away that first round draft pick in order to acquire that defenseman they so badly need?
Well, you've got an interesting thing here, and it's a great question because, you know, unless the hockey gods really like Edmonton, it's not going to be Austin Matthews. But, you know, hockey gods smiled on the Oilers last year. My gut, and I have no knowledge other than just what my gut tells me, is that they would trade the pick. Now, all of that said, you got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's injured. You've got Nail Yakupov, and we didn't discuss him during this segment. There is a number one overall, first overall pick, who has been, for a bunch of reasons, he's been injured a lot this year. He just hasn't been able to figure out the game at the NHL level. So, you know, I think pick, but, you know, again, you've got some talented, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I'm sure they would love to have him. They're paying him a great deal of money, and based on what this team looks like now, he could be the number three center, the two center. That's a lot of money tied up in Nuge. So my gut says pick, but then, of course, you know, you guys will remind me that I'll be very wrong on draft day or at the draft when they, you know, keep the pick and trade Taylor Hall. You know?
Dave, we would never remind you of you being wrong. That would not be polite of us.
You're too kind. Yeah.
Dave, when Drew's wrong, we remind him on an hourly basis.
We don't remind the guests when they're wrong. We just remind one another when we're wrong. It's much easier that way. Dave Jamieson is the host of the Dave Jamieson Show on our sister station, TSN 1260 in Edmonton. Dave, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always good, guys. Thanks.
Take care, Dave. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, more on Mr. Connor McDavid.
You're on the Curve. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Kind of knew, we all knew that he never had one. It was pretty surprising for a guy who's been so successful in the league for so long. So I think, you know nights when you feel it, and I think all three of us were feeling pretty good tonight, and we were all clicking together and bringing something different. So it was a good night.
Connor McDavid on Thursday night after his 5-point performance against the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jordan Eberle and Benoit Pouliot also racking up 4 points each, I believe, for a grand total of 13 points for that one line against the Leafs. They accounted for all of the goals for the Oilers on Thursday night. Welcome back to the program. Illegal Curve Hockey is thrilled to be participating in the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life coming up on June the 5th. Join Illegal Curve in raising money for the Riverview Health Center's Alzheimer and Dementia Wards by cycling in the event or contributing to Team Illegal Curve. For more information about the Riverview Health Center Foundation's Cycle on Life or to join Team Illegal Curve, visit rhcf.mb.ca or tweet at us at Illegal Curve for more information. Ezzy, the Oilers laid a licking on the Toronto Maple Leafs on Thursday night. Connor McDavid, the Jets will get the first time the Jets will be able to see him this season, as he was out of the lineup earlier when the Jets visited Edmonton. I think it's going to be the Connor McDavid show tonight. What he's doing night in, night out is otherworldly right now.
Yeah, and he's just so much fun to watch, and Jets fans are going to get to see him early March at MTS Center, and you probably don't want to sell those tickets or make sure if you have those tickets that that you're there for that game. But, you know, Drew, you mentioned the 5-point performance, and we talked to Dave Jamieson about his 5-point performance against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He could have had 6, 7, 8 points in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, the hype is real. And this guy is going to win a scoring race. It's just a matter of when, if it's next year or the year after. He's the best prospect since Sidney Crosby. I think you could argue he's the best prospect since Wayne Gretzky. And I really don't think that we're hyping this up too much. I mean, this guy just scores goals. He gets points. It's unbelievable. We saw how much he tore up the Ontario Hockey League last year. If he's healthy, if he's healthy last year, remember he got that injury.
Broken hand or something?
He would have had 200 points in the OHL last year. with the Erie Otters. So Connor McDavid is an unbelievable talent, and the Winnipeg Jets are obviously going to make sure that they do a good job of shutting him down, but it's easier said than done, Drew. This guy just has an unbelievable vision and eye for the net and everything. I mean, he's the total package.
Yeah.
This guy can do everything, with the exception of maybe drop the gloves, which he did in the Ontario Hockey League.
Probably don't want him doing that very much.
They don't want him doing that. Todd McClellan isn't going to be setting
him up. The
Jets
don't want Ehlers becoming their goon. I think the Oilers don't want McDavid becoming their goon either.
That fight between Ehlers and Tyson Barrie was pretty good. But
yeah, well, Ehlers won it.
Connor McDavid, right now, you mentioned playing on a line with Jordan Eberle and Benoit Pouliot. I would assume that Tobias Enstrom and Tyler Myers would be paired up against that line tonight, unless they go with Tobias Enstrom and Dustin Byfuglien, which they have been doing, and then they've been putting Mark Stewart with Jacob Trouba, but then they've been kind of changing that in-game, Drew,
mm-hmm.
based on what's happening, especially against the Boston Bruins. The lines were all over the place.
Sure.
The point is, he's going to be tough to shut down. He's going to be one of those guys like Steph Curry in the NBA. You know, teams are going to game plan to shut him down, yeah. but they're going to know that most likely they're not going to do a very good job at it. It's just about limiting the bleeding.
You're willing to give up, you know, if McDavid gets a goal and an assist, it's sort of the price of doing business, and you know, you're willing to take it, just like if Steph Curry gets, you know, 25 points, it's not 50 points. You're sort of okay with it.
And you know, Drew, you mentioned that Connor McDavid has 12 points in 6 games since coming back from injury.
Yeah.
What's most amazing to me is that he's got 13 games where he's got points out of his 19 games. He's got 24 points in 19 games, which ranks 7th on the Oilers, and he missed 30 games. He missed more than 30 games. It's incredible.
I asked Dave Jameson this question last segment. Is he your favorite for the Art Ross Trophy next year?
I would say he probably wouldn't be my favorite, but I wouldn't be surprised if he won it. I think I would probably say Patrick Kane, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, those players, just because of, you know, their experience in the NHL. But
if
let's put it this way, Drew, if you picked Connor McDavid to win the Art Ross Trophy,
you wouldn't.
I wouldn't say that was a bad pick.
Sure.
And he's just that good. I mean, like we were saying before, I mean, this guy, he'll get 100 points in the NHL. He'll win the Art Ross Trophy eventually. Just a question of
100
when.
100 points, he might get it. Yeah, I mean, 150 or you know,
maybe.
What he's been doing has been absolutely incredible. Calder Trophy this year. Would you vote him for it in the limited window, the limited number of games he's played? Or is that, you know, still, you know, just not quite deserving given the injury and everything else?
Well, I think it's going to be very tough for him to catch Panarin.
Well, he's not going to catch Panarin,
I don't
think.
Well, I mean, usually you would probably give the Calder to the player who has the most points.
Sure.
Right? Or at least give that guy a lot of credit for the amount of points he got. So he may be a nominee. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of hockey. There's still 27, 28 games left in the season. If he continues to play the way he's played, let's say he ends up with 50 points in 45 games or whatever it is.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's nominated, but I still think Panarin, Dylan Larkin, I think those guys. I think another guy that deserves a lot of, you know, maybe talk as a Calder candidate is Shane Gostisbehere.
Sure.
In Philadelphia. He's been very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some other guys that are having good seasons. Sam Bennett, he's tailed off a little bit. I mean, there are other players, too. But if he continues to be a point-a-game player, Drew, how do you not nominate him for the Calder Trophy? Not necessarily saying that he will be, because I think, another guy, Connor Hellebuyck, is another guy. Yeah. You can't really nominate him for the Calder when he's only played 25 games or whatever it is, right? So,
well, the Oilers have 26 games left, and assuming McDavid plays in all those games, I mean, he's averaging a little bit more than a point a game. So let's say he slows down to a point a game, so another 26 points. That puts him at 50 points in, you know, 45 games.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. It's right up there. I mean, you know, I think you can make the argument. I still think what, you know, Panarin is doing, you know, in Chicago is tremendous this year for a guy who was, you know, undrafted and you know, just a random free agent signing.
Yep.
But, I mean, McDavid is, you're right. You look at the rest of this Jets schedule for the season, and, you know, I think we've outlined it pretty clearly that it's going to be very difficult for this team to make the playoffs. But the one game that's still circled on the calendar, I think, of Winnipeg hockey fans is coming up. I think it's, what, Sunday, March the 6th, if I'm not mistaken, when the Oilers visit Winnipeg, just to see what McDavid is going to do in that performance, to be able to see the speed, see him in real time, and just how good he actually is.
Well, and when you talk about not only the future of the Edmonton Oilers, but the future of hockey, I mean, this guy is the brightest star that hockey has. And, you know, Jack Eichel is another guy we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
He's having a pretty good season. Probably won't be in the Calder discussion, mm-hmm. but he's just outside of the Calder discussion, having a decent season. But
37 points, 56 games, third in rookie scoring.
Yeah. Connor McDavid, though, is a step above all these guys, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I really think that this is a guy who people are going to pay big money to see. He's that good.
I think he's a top five player in the entire league already.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Crosby, and we'll talk about Crosby coming up on the show, given what he's been doing as of late. Crosby, Kane, Sagan. I mean, McDavid's, you know, right, or I think in the same breath as those guys right now.
Yeah, and the fact that we're saying that for a kid who's not even 20 years old yet is incredible, right?
Is.
But if you watched either the game or the highlights, I mean, the types of goals that he's scoring, he just puts himself in the position to succeed, and he gets in those spots. He makes other players better. He's so fast. He's so talented. He's a great player, and it's really fun to watch him, especially at this point in his career, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know that the best is yet to come.
Good luck to the Winnipeg Jets defense as they try and slow him down later on tonight between the Jets and the Oilers.
Just put three players on
a game you can hear live, of course, on TSN 1290. Let's head to break. When we come back, talk about some of the trade rumors around the NHL, 16 days away from the NHL's trade deadline. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew, Ezra, and Richard return on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
When Bufflin got signed, they should have done the Jim Benny should have done the one man wave. You know, get up, put your hands in the air. He's re-signed.
That's yes.
More teams need a top four, a top pairing, reliable guy. I mean, if you're the Washington Capitals, if you're Barry Trotz, and you probably got the best team in the East, and you have this history with Dan Hamhuis, and you know through attrition and injury you're probably going to lose a guy or two along the way, you've got Jim Benning on speed dial. Yep. Forget it.
That from our sister station, TSN Radio Vancouver, discussing Dan Hamhuis being on the trade market and the Washington Capitals potentially being a destination for the veteran defenseman. We are 16 days away from the NHL trade deadline, and we will do a rumor roundup right now. This segment brought to you by the Rady Fitness Center, official fitness facility of Illegal Curve Radio. With 52,000 square feet of gym space, new equipment, and a saltwater pool, get back in shape and reclaim your glory days at the Rady Fitness Center. For details and to save up to $100 off of a new membership, visit RadyJCC.com/IllegalCurve. Ezzy, Dan Hamhuis to the Washington Capitals? That makes sense to you?
Well, Brooks Orpik is injured right now,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's been out longer than they anticipated. Brooks Orpik is a key defenseman for the Washington Capitals, and he was a key defenseman for the Pittsburgh Penguins team that won the Cup in 2009. If he's not healthy enough to come back before the playoffs, I'm not sure when he's coming back. That, to me, has a huge impact on whether they go after a guy like Dan Hamhuis. Kind of similar type defenseman, Drew. Brooks Orpik's maybe a little bit more physical than Dan Hamhuis. Dan Hamhuis has a physical element to his game. But needless to say, Dan Hamhuis is the type of guy that they would want to play a top four role for them in more of a defensive role. Now, Dan Hamhuis has missed quite a bit of hockey this year. He's only played 30 games.
Broken jaw, if I'm not mistaken? Is that what it was?
I believe it was a broken jaw, yeah. And this is a guy who at 33 years old maybe isn't as quick as he used to be, but he's still a very reliable defenseman. So
Team Canada defenseman?
As you said, he was a member of the 2014 team, and he was very good. And if you're Washington, you'd say, well, Washington's only lost, what, 9 games in regulation, 10 games in regulation? Why do they need to go out and get a guy like Dan Hamhuis? Well, as we mentioned, Brooks Orpik has been injured for most of the season. And you never know, Drew, a guy might get injured, you know, throughout the course of the regular season here towards the end going into the playoffs. You might have an injury in the playoffs. You might want to have a depth defenseman to rely on, right?
Well, so, they say you need, what, 8-9 defensemen generally in the playoffs to get through it with all the injuries and the games in such a compacted period of time?
Well, it's depth, right, Drew? Yeah. And the Chicago Blackhawks last year basically rolled out 4 defensemen for the most part, and they didn't play guys like Kimmo Timonen and Trevor Van Riemsdyk a lot. But you want to be able to have guys that you can plug into the lineup. So if you
the Capitals can't do that because they don't have a Duncan Keith or a Brett Seabrook on the back end there.
Right. And you know, John Carlson, Matt Niskanen,
good defensemen.
They've had good years and that defense is very solid. Dmitry Orlov. Mm-hmm. I mean I like the Washington Capitals defense, and I think that if you're talking about a Dan Hamhuis, and I realize Dan Hamhuis has also been linked to the Dallas Stars. That's I like Dan Hamhuis for the Dallas Stars a lot better, to be honest with you. I think they could use Dan Hamhuis a lot. Well, Dallas Stars, they have an okay defense. It's got a little bit better. Johnny Oduya has been a nice acquisition for them. He's become less of an offensive-minded defenseman, more as a stay-at-home defenseman. But if you look at the makeup of that defense, you know, Alex Goligoski, John Klingberg, these are kind of more offensive-minded defensemen. I think you put a Dan Hamhuis in there, he becomes a top-4 defenseman for you. So I could see Dan Hamhuis being a nice fit in Dallas as well.
The caveat behind all of these trade rumors involving Dan Hamhuis, of course, is that he has a full no-trade clause, a full no-move clause. And given that he, you know, by all accounts, he actually prefers to re-sign in Vancouver, given he's from Smithers, B.C. He's a local boy. Given that he, you know, apparently prefers to re-sign there, it'll be interesting to see if he ends up waiving his no-trade clause if the Canucks come to him and request that occurring.
Right.
I mean, if I'm Hamhuis, I mean, I understand wanting to re-sign in Vancouver. It doesn't seem like the Canucks are overwhelmingly interested in doing that. But the opportunity to go to either Washington or to go to Dallas, call your own shot, and be able to, you know, really compete deep into the playoffs for a Stanley Cup, it's quite appealing.
And this Hamhuis is a pending UFA, right?
He is a pending UFA. That's
so, I
correct.
Mean, is a team going to acquire him as a rental? Or are they going to acquire him with the intention of signing him? Or maybe they don't know and they're going to see how he does. Like, is this a Kimmo Timonen situation? No, because he's not as old as Kimmo Timonen was last year.
33, though.
But, you know, he's a guy that probably has a couple of years at least left, maybe 3 or 4 years even left as a defenseman. You know, sure, he's played a pretty, you know, grinding style, and he's blocked a lot of shots and all of that. But I think that he would be a good acquisition for a team. A lot of teams before the trade deadline are looking for top 6 forwards and top 4 defensemen, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe if they need a goaltender, but we agreed first hour that most teams are pretty set in goal. There aren't too many teams that are looking for a number 1 goalie.
Especially the teams that have designs on a long playoff run.
Right, right. Dallas now has 2 good goalies with Antti Niemi there.
They don't want a third.
Right, so, I mean, Dan Hamhuis, you're talking about a guy who is going to be desirable if the Vancouver Canucks are going to put him on the trade block, which it looks like they will. Because a guy like Dan Hamhuis, who has a reasonable cap hit, actually, he could ask for $4 or $5 million for his next contract, whether that's 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would expect Dan Hamhuis to get traded, and both Dallas and Washington are probably going to be pretty hard after him.
2 reports, both out of Montreal, involving the Ottawa Senators supposedly working hard to get Jonathan Drouin out of Tampa Bay. The return going back to Tampa Bay would be Cody Ceci, the young defenseman, former top 5 pick, I believe, of the Senators. Your thoughts on a Drouin for Ceci deal? Would that make sense from both sides?
Well, you know, I'm not a huge Jonathan Drouin fan, Drew. I think that he has proven right now, early on in his career, that he needs to grow up and mature. But I wouldn't say that Jonathan Drouin wouldn't be a good fit on Ottawa. I could see him being a good fit on many teams. He's got a lot of skill. But Cody Ceci's having a good year this year. He's got 16 points in 49 games. As you mentioned, he was a first-round pick for the Ottawa Senators in 2012. And I really like his game. And I would think that he factors in to the long-term plans of the Ottawa Senators, especially considering they traded Jared Cowan. I mean, they need some defensemen there. You know, they've got Eric Carlson, of course, and Mark Methot, and they just picked up Dion Phaneuf. But I don't necessarily know that Ceci for Drouin is the trade. And I know Tampa Bay is looking to acquire a defenseman, especially with Jason Garrison's injury.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's out 3 to 5 weeks, which is a significant injury for the Tampa Bay Lightning entering into the playoff stretch drive.
I would think that the Tampa Bay Lightning would want a forward in return. And I'm not saying that they're going to ask for Mark Stone or Mika Zibanejad, but maybe you're asking for Curtis Lazar, for example, mm-hmm. who struggled. I could see maybe them moving a guy like Curtis Lazar. Again, I'm not saying that they aren't high on Curtis Lazar. He's a very good junior player.
Sure.
But, you know, he hasn't performed like they have wanted. So maybe that forward-for-forward type of trade. CC, I just think that he's got too high of an upside right now. But again, I mean, these trades are, I mean, the Dion Phaneuf trade was certainly a little bit unexpected. Not necessarily that he was traded,
yeah.
but that it was to Ottawa.
Brian Murray certainly is he's aggressive as a general manager when he wants to go at it. I misspoke. CC 15th overall. I said 5th overall.
That's all right.
Thank you. But I mean, Brian Murray, you know, you've seen it where, you know, unwanted players on other teams, he goes after them. You know, Kyle Turris, of course, was persona non grata out of the Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Coyotes organization. He went and acquired him. That seems like it's been a pretty decent move. You know, Bobby Ryan, he went out and acquired him when he needed to. So Brian Murray, obviously Phaneuf this week, Brian Murray not afraid to go hard after a guy he thinks is going to improve his team.
I don't think the trade market, Drew, we talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago now. I don't think the trade market for Jonathan Drouin is a very hot one. I don't know. I think he will get traded before the trade deadline. But I think the amount of teams that want him is limited, especially with what was going on down in the AHL.
Yeah, and I'm on the record of saying I don't think he gets dealt between now and the trade deadline. I think that's a deal that gets made in the summer.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't think that Steve Yzerman is, I think he's sort of said out of sight, out of mind with regard to Drew. And he's, I mean, he's got his focus, obviously, for the next 16 days on Steven Stamkos.
It's the same thing with a lot of players, right, Drew? If Steve Yzerman gets a deal, And this is Captain Obvious saying this, but if he gets a deal that he likes, he'll trade him. And if someone's offering him a player that he's not that high on, then he'll say, you know what, I'm going to hang on to Drouin, wait till the summer, maybe trade him at the draft.
Sure.
Maybe get a draft pick for him. Who knows?
And if he resolves Stamkos in the next week or so, which is, you know, definitely a possibility, that gives him 9 days where he can refocus on Drouin if that's somebody that he's interested in dealing with right now. But I think for the most part, I mean, if I'm Steve Yzerman, I'm focusing on what to do with Steven Stamkos, because that's the great unknown when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning right now.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just me speaking from what I've seen watching Cody Ceci. I really like his game, and I don't know if you trade an emerging young defenseman for a guy like Drouin, who you don't know what you're getting. You're getting a bit of a head case.
Yeah. We mentioned it with Dave Jamieson earlier in the program, the question about Justin Schultz. He's expected to be traded between now and the deadline. He's a restricted free agent at season's end. The Edmonton Oilers will have no interest in making him a qualifying offer, given his salary and his play have not been equal to one another. He's really struggled on the back end. You know, Schultz is probably one of those guys a lot of teams think that they can buy low on. Maybe they can resuscitate him, you know, maybe insulate him with a good solid defensive defenseman, because Schultz is a guy who can move the puck and he can skate pretty well.
Yeah, he can move the puck, but I mean, I think at this point right now, we've seen him now for 3 years, 4 years with the Edmonton Oilers, and he isn't very good defensively. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, he's got offensive abilities, so maybe a team right now that's in the playoff hunt or established in a playoff spot maybe goes after him. But what are you giving up for a guy like Justin Schultz? I don't think you're giving up a lot. He just hasn't worked out in Edmonton. Dave Jamieson said it. So, you know, I guess Peter Chiarelli moves him. Maybe if someone's willing to give up maybe a third rounder, he'll take it.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. One other rumor involves Fedor Tuten of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Rumors have that the Detroit Red Wings are interested in the veteran defenseman from Columbus.
Yeah, and you know, Fedor Tuten is obviously towards the end of his career, but a guy, again, who has trade value because he's a veteran defenseman who you know what you're going to get out of him. He's not, you know, a guy that's going to tear up the scoreboard. You're not going to see his name on the score sheet many nights, but good, reliable defensive defenseman. Used to play for the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, a team like the New York Rangers who have some injuries there on the back end, maybe they pick him up. I mean, I think it's going to be a team, obviously, that wants a depth defenseman. Similar situation to, again, what Chicago did with Kimo Timonen. It's going to be a team that wants kind of a rough-and-tumble defenseman, you know, veteran guy. who they can put into their lineup. Maybe a guy that sits in the press box come playoff time, but they can put into your lineup.
Let's hit the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Sidney Crosby. Sort of under the radar, given what Connor McDavid's doing, but Crosby absolutely on fire as well. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Curve Crew are back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
In the morning, February 13th. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day before Valentine's Day. The most romantic day of the year, or something like that, right?
That's why Rory's playing Beastie Boys' Hey Ladies.
Oh, very interesting. I didn't know that. As we've documented on more than one occasion, my musical knowledge is very limited. But see, it all works out. All works out for the best here.
I'm pretty sure I own every single Beastie Boys album.
Yeah, you're a big music guy.
Yeah. Well, Beastie Boys especially.
Yeah, you know, you're definitely a big music guy. Back on December the 19th. So what's that? Just almost 2 months ago. I made the mistake. I'll take credit or blame. Maybe discounting the career of one Sidney Crosby. Here's the audio from back on December the 19th.
You think that we're going to look back at 2015 as maybe the end of the Sidney Crosby era?
No. Too early.
Still too early in your mind?
Too early, Drew. You can't. I wouldn't say that. You might be right, but I wouldn't say that.
Okay. So that was my mistake, because Sidney Crosby has...
Well, you didn't say that it was the end of the Sidney Crosby era, Drew. You were just asking the question.
Well, I sort of was implying that I thought that he might be on the downside of his career at that point in time.
Well, and by the way, you didn't include any of me there. It was Richie. He's not even here to back up his comments. So.
No, but Richie was the one who was he was correct about it.
Well, I think I also chimed in there. Maybe, you know, Rory can pull up the part that I continued and said that I wouldn't, if you remember what I said.
No, I don't listen to you.
I said I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes top 10 in the league in scoring by the end of the year. That's what I said. I remember. I don't know why you didn't include that, Drew.
Yeah, but I just told you. I don't really listen to what you say.
No, I mean, look at Crosby. Had a poor start to the season, as did the Pittsburgh Penguins. Since Mike Johnston was fired, by the way, and Mike Sullivan took over, Crosby's numbers have just continued to shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, he's still one of the best players in the league. Have Tyler Seguin and Patrick Kane passed him as far as the new top offensive players in the NHL? Yeah, they have. But Sidney Crosby is still one of the best players, and when you look at what he's done over the course of his career and the impact he has on a game. I mean, the goal he scored the other night, I mean, that type of stuff you haven't seen out of Sidney Crosby in a while, but that's like the type of stuff that you saw 6-7 years ago when Sidney Crosby was winning the scoring title. So Sidney Crosby's probably not going to score 120 points again in an NHL season, but I still think he's going to be up there for many years to come.
Well, you mentioned Mike Sullivan, and he came over, he became head coach of the Penguins midway through this year when Mike Johnston was fired.
Yep.
And it really does seem to have rejuvenated Sidney Crosby and even the Penguins team in general. You know, they were a team that was really languishing, you know, right middling, sometimes in the playoffs, sometimes out of the playoffs, and they're not firmly in the playoffs by any stretch at this point. 28-19-7, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're in second place in the second wild card spot. You know, and what he's done for Crosby, it seems like there's stability behind the Penguins organization for the first time in a long time with Sullivan. It seems like he's just come in and sort of calmed everything down, and they're no longer just, you know, a team that is going through the motions, winning some games because they're naturally talented. It seems like they have there's a thought process behind what they're going through right now.
Yeah, and Mike Sullivan has a lot of NHL head coaching and assistant, more so coaching experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Johnston, before he became a head coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins, had none. And this is a guy that was a WHL coach. Not to say that, you know, coaches from junior hockey can't continue that into the NHL, but I don't think Mike Johnston really had a clear vision for this team. And, you know, I'm not saying that the only reason why the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing well is because of Mike Sullivan, but I also think Mike Johnston didn't really know what to do with his top players. I just think Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, as you mentioned, top two centers, just seem lost for a big chunk of this season. And I think the coaching change has really sparked this team because, you know, even though the Pittsburgh Penguins might be a team that has an outside shot at not making the playoffs, I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
So do I.
But
I also think they're a team that nobody's going to want to play in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, the way they've been going, and the way, you know, this is without Malkin. Malkin's been a little banged up. He's missed the last number of games.
Yep. And Kessel hasn't been very good.
Kessel's been Phil Kessel. I mean, he's going to end the season with 20 some odd goals, and he's going to end with you know, 20 some odd assists. And it's the most insignificant, you know, 50 point season that
for an $8 million player.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Kessel's Phil Kessel, and they know that. But I mean, Chris Letang has also been fantastic this season. But you telling me you want to face Sidney Crosby in the first round of the playoffs, given that, you know, what he's been doing as of late? You know, what's he had in the last 11 games? He's got 19 points. Crosby's a guy who can single-handedly come back and win you a season. And right now, you know, the Washington Capitals, the reward for the first round of the playoffs is to be seeing Sidney Crosby.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Drew, that the first round matchup could be Pittsburgh versus Washington, a rivalry which has kind of slowed down a little bit over the years because Pittsburgh hasn't been very good, and Washington keeps getting better and better. They're probably a Stanley Cup favorite right now, not just Vegas odds, but just the way the team is constructed.
Overwhelming favorite right now, I would suggest. And we'll talk more about the Capitals and really the fact that nobody's talking about the Capitals and what they've done. We'll talk about that next segment because they've done something that hasn't been done in NHL history before.
And I agree with you. I think if you're the Washington Capitals, why would you want to play the Pittsburgh Penguins? Not only has Sidney Crosby really regained he's playing like Sidney Crosby, but when Evgeny Malkin gets healthy, Marc-Andre Fleury has the ability. We've seen that. He can steal a series. I'm not saying that I would pick Pittsburgh in a 7-game series against Washington, but I'm just saying that's a team that you don't want to play with all of that experience. You know, you have guys like Chris Kunitz and even Phil Kessel. If he gets a little bit hot, he's a guy that can have an impact on a series. So, and I like the Carl Hagelin trade. I like everything that Pittsburgh's doing right now. Jim Rutherford has made some moves that I don't agree with, and I still think if the Penguins are serious about making a playoff run, they got to pick up a defenseman. I mean, that defense is not good enough to beat a team like the Washington Capitals. I mean, Ovechkin, Backstrom, TJ Oshie, you know, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, these guys, they'll eat up that defense.
It's the same problem with the Penguins, and I mean, Crosby's playing well, so we're talking about that, but it's the same. I mean, you look at their bottom six forward group right now, and, you know, sure Malkin's out of the lineup, and that's a significant loss, but you look at their bottom six of their forward group, and it's not NHL caliber right now is the bottom six. And does that change? And, you know, maybe do they get healthy when Nick Bonino comes back? Eric Fair is going to be out of the lineup for a number of months right now. So they've got some problems in their bottom six. And I don't think that you look at their bottom six forwards, you know, Tom Kunackle. I've never heard of him. I don't know anything about him. Oscar Sundqvist and Brian Rust. I mean, I've never heard of either of those three players.
Well, yeah, no, they're definitely not as deep in the bottom six. And, you know, we talked about it before. The defense is not good enough, so they're going to have to make a few trades here. Hmm. And if again, they are serious, and I think they are. I mean, this isn't a team that's going to be happy with getting a high draft pick.
No, you have to be serious. Problem is they don't have any cap space either. So,
well,
I mean,
that's another problem. They're going to have to move somebody to get somebody.
Yeah, they're damned if you do, damned if you don't, and that's, you know, it would not shock me given the way Crosby has been performing in that he could single-handedly take over a series. Right now he's 53 games played, 53 points, so he's sixth overall in NHL scoring. How high do you think he can get this year? Can he catch, you know, Jamie Benn and Erik Karlsson, who are tied for second with 62 points?
Maybe. I mean, he's not catching Patrick Kane. We know that. But, I mean, again, that's what I said, back in December. Just because he had a poor start to the season, I wouldn't count him out. I mean, we know what he can do. He can get 3 points every night if he wants to.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't count him out either.
He just had a 7-game point streak, so.
Yeah, and like I said, the numbers that he's been putting up for the Pittsburgh Penguins are otherworldly right now. And, you know, Sidney Crosby being Sidney Crosby is great for the NHL.
It is.
And Connor McDavid, I mean, he looks like Sidney Crosby in what he's been doing. and they both look like, you know, the 21st century version of Wayne Gretzky.
Like you said before, Drew, a first round matchup in the East, which is clearly weaker than the West. I mean, the West has a lot more teams that I would say are Stanley Cup contenders.
Mm-hmm.
But a first round matchup of Sidney Crosby versus Alexander Ovechkin, when both players, you know, Ovechkin had a hat trick the other night, his 12th sure. career hat trick.
Well, if those two guys all in the first period or something,
right? And if you have two really good teams, well, especially Washington, but two of the best players going head to head, that's what you want, right? So that would be a great first round matchup.
That it would. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Washington Capitals. They've done something that no one else in NHL history has done. We'll tell you about it next on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew, Ezra, and Richard return on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Should make note that a special Valentine's Day Sunday show at Rumors, typically closed on Sundays, they will be open tomorrow for Valentine's Day to see Ben Glebe. Showtime 7:30. Doors open at 6 p.m. So if you're still looking for Valentine's Day activities for you and your loved one, check out rumorscomedyclub.com for a special Valentine's Day show. Right now, caller number 3 at 780-1290. You'll win 4 tickets to see Sam Morril this coming Wednesday, February 17th at Rumors Comedy Club. Caller number 3 right now to 780-1290. Talk to Rory. You're going to win 4 tickets to Rumors this coming Wednesday.
So, Drew, people want to know, what do you have planned for Valentine's Day?
For Valentine's Day, the wife and I have a nice romantic sushi dinner planned, in fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be dining in or taking out?
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna buy a lot of sushi and I'm gonna lay it on my body and she's gonna have to eat it off of me just like that. You know, put a little wasabi on my chest and she can dip the sushi in there and, you know, really make it romantic like that.
Well, I don't know about the listeners, but I'm very creeped out right now.
What about you? What do you have planned for Valentine's Day?
I got a few things.
Things up your sleeve?
I got a few things happening.
I got to say here, people obviously they can't see you right now, but you are clean shaven for one of the very few times. So, you know, you got the nice clean shaven look on. You know, the lady friend, I'm sure, will appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's funny, Drew. I decided to go clean shaven yesterday, and I didn't plan it out. Like, I had a pretty big beard. I probably hadn't shaved in, 2 months?
Yeah, you usually have a pretty good beard going on.
And it's the winter, and I just, you know, I thought I'd change it up a little bit and go towards the baby face. And especially with the way it is outside right now, how cold it is, it was probably not the best decision.
Yeah, like walking into a freezer based on when that hit the air hit your skin there.
It's bitter cold today. It's pretty bad. But again, you know, winter's almost over. So
yeah, it should warm up, though. It's supposed to warm up starting tomorrow. And it usually warms up right in conjunction with Festival de Voyageurs.
Yep.
So that'll be hopefully the warming snap that we usually get.
We're from Winnipeg. We're tough. We can handle it. You know, all these people in Toronto claiming it's so cold and complaining that, you know, All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend, it's so cold there. I mean, come on. Come to Winnipeg. We'll show you cold.
Congratulations to Florian. He has won the 4 tickets to Rumors this coming Wednesday. We'll be in touch with Florian to make sure that he knows how to get his hands on those tickets.
I like that name, Florian.
Yeah.
Never heard that name.
It's, I think, the first time we've had a Florian win anything on the program, so it's always it is a unique name.
Do you think Florian likes to go to Florida?
I don't know. We can ask him. I'll send him an email.
Or Florence?
Yeah,
Italy?
Yeah, Florence.
You've been to Florence?
I actually haven't been to Florence. Oh. I've been to Italy, but I haven't been to Florence.
You went to Florence?
No, just Rome.
Oh, not Sicily?
Not Sicily. Yeah, just Rome.
How's the pizza in Italy?
Pizza was great. Pasta was great. The red wine was particularly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Well, I've always wanted to go to Italy.
There's still time.
Maybe that'll happen one day.
Yeah. You know, once you get that pardon from pardon services, you'll be able to cross the border anytime now. Anyways, the Washington Capitals, Ezra, are doing something that hasn't been done in NHL history. They are the fastest team to win 40 games in NHL history, accomplishing the feat only in 53 games played. The Capitals just absolutely been dominant, 49-4 right now on the season. They're running away with the President's Trophy. It's not even going to be a competition. They are 8 points up on the Chicago Blackhawks for second place, the Blackhawks in second place. Is this Capitals team not getting enough credit for how impressive they've been in the historical sense?
I don't think it really is. And I think we all picked the Washington Capitals to make the playoffs, and I think Richard picked them to win the Stanley Cup over the Dallas Stars.
I believe that's correct as well.
I don't think anybody expected, among us, or a lot of people expected, the Washington Capitals to be this good. I mean, look at Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby has 35 wins. Mm-hmm. It's only mid-February. I mean, he's on pace for over 50 wins this year.
Yeah,
it's really incredible. And, you know, we talked about Alexander Ovechkin last segment, you know, in relation to Sidney Crosby and the season that Sidney Crosby is now having. But this team, and, you know, sure, maybe they acquire a defenseman, you know, before the trade deadline, but you look at this team, and it's pretty complete. Acquiring TJ Oshie and Justin Williams to make them stronger on the right side, that was a weakness in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
Up the middle, they're very strong. Of course, led by Nicholas Backstrom up the middle, and Evgeny Kuznetsov has been excellent this year. This is just a real complete team, and they definitely need Brooks Orpik come playoff time. I mean, he's a guy that they're going to rely on, but they've been pretty good without him. And I think that's something that hasn't been talked about. I mean, we said Dan Hamhuis is maybe an option for the Washington Capitals, but Brooks Orpik hasn't played most of the year,
yeah.
And they've only lost, what, 10 games?
Nine, not even 10.
So 9 games. Yeah. So they're still at 9 regulation losses, which is incredible. This team might finish the season with 125 points.
Yeah, which is not good. I mean, it's going to be so heads and shoulders above the second-place team as they're on pace for. I mean, right now they're on pace for 129 points this season. Second best is on pace for 111 points, which if it comes to fruition, that 18-point gap would be the best or the largest gap since the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings finished 27 points ahead of the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, and you could say, you know, if you want to look at this, the only negative about this would be you could say, well, they're not going to face much adversity for the rest of the season, and they're going to coast to the President's Trophy, and they're going to have home ice advantage. But I don't know necessarily if I would agree with that, because if you're the Washington Capitals, you want home ice advantage throughout the playoffs, right? And you could say that home ice advantage maybe isn't as much of an advantage as it used to be, especially considering the parity in the NHL, and any team can beat a team in a 7-game series. So the Washington Capitals, maybe that's a bit of a negative. They're not playing for much towards the end of the season, but I don't really buy that. I still think that this team is going to be a dangerous team to face, whether they face the Pittsburgh Penguins or Boston Bruins, whoever, in the first round. It's just such a complete team. And, you know, they went out and they signed Mike Richards, who's been playing with Michael Latta and Brooks Like on that fourth line. It's just a very good team. Their defensemen like to jump up into the rush, especially John Carlson. He's having another really good year after having a career year last year. So if anything, the only thing I think that the Washington Capitals are going to need to do before the trade deadline heading into the playoffs is maybe acquire depth defensemen. But I don't see very many weaknesses on this team. If you can find a weakness on this team, aside from maybe acquiring one more defenseman, I can't see one. Best forward group in the NHL, in my opinion.
Sure.
Very well coached. Barry Trotz is one of the best coaches in the NHL. I think he wins the Jack Adams Trophy this year.
I think he wins the running away. And I think you can certainly make the argument that they have the best goaltender in the NHL right now. Braden Holtby has won 35 games in 44 starts this season. The NHL best career, or the best for most wins in a single season by a goaltender is Marty Brodeur's 48 wins back in 2006-2007. It's only 14 more wins for Holtby to break that record.
He's going to break it.
Do you think he breaks Brodeur's record and he gets maybe 50 wins this year for a goaltender?
Well, he's certainly on pace, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Braden Holtby had an amazing breakout year last year. He was incredible, played 73 games, by far the most amongst goalies in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they might rest him a little bit, but you know, I mean, he's at the very least going to hit 45. I mean, he's already got 35 wins, and there's what, 28 games left? So it's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible what he's doing right now. Here's Marty Brodeur. He was asked about Braden Holtby's recent performance. Brodeur, quote, "I've definitely followed Holtby. Any time that a goalie has a special season like that, it's pretty impressive. I like him. I sat down at the draft with Caps coach Barry Trotz, and we had a lot of conversations about the way Holtby played and his workload. He asked what I thought about it. For me, he reminds me of a lot. Not the way he plays or whatever, but the way he puts himself out there. He's not scared. He just wants to play. I'm sure he's playing through tons of injuries. He's a warrior out there. He just looks like that. I don't know him, and I don't know if he does or not, but he's having a great year, and it's not just this year. Last year, he was coming on, and he's going to be good for a long time for them." I mean, that's pretty high praise from Marty Brodeur, who I know that you, ad nauseum, you've spoken about how much you love Marty Brodeur.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're a regular listener of the show, you're probably sick of me talking about how much I love Marty Brodeur.
As a regular host on the show, I am.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he could win the Hart Trophy. He's going to win the Vezina Trophy. I mean, you might as well just give him the Vezina Trophy right now. And, you know, could be a situation like last year with Carey Price. I mean, he's that important to this team. As you mentioned, he plays a lot. He's probably not going to end up with 73 starts. He'll probably be around, I don't know, 65 to 68. They'll rest him towards the end of the season, I bet, Drew. But, you know, needless to say, he's going to play 65-plus games, and he's going to end up with probably 45 to 50 wins. And, you know, it's incredible. You look at the Washington Capitals and how far they've come.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about them being possibly rebuilding 3 or 4 years ago, and Alexander Ovechkin was struggling.
Yeah.
Now Alexander Ovechkin has refined his game under Barry Trotz. Braden Holtby is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL right now. The defense is looking good. I mean, we talked about Brooks Orpik. Right now, Dmitry Orlov and Taylor Chorney as that third pair. It's a pretty good pair. I've been impressed with Taylor Chorney, who's kind of been a bit of a journeyman defenseman, but he's done a really nice job there playing limited minutes, and Carl Alsner is a really solid stay-at-home defenseman who can chip in a bit of offense. I mean, the team is so complete. We could spend an hour talking about this Washington Capitals team, and right now, as you mentioned, there's some good teams in the West. I wouldn't, say that the Washington Capitals are necessarily a Stanley Cup favorite, in my opinion.
Really? They're not your favorite?
I still think Chicago is, Drew.
I have time for your argument, and I can understand why you would say it, just because until the Blackhawks are out, it's probably a logical bet to say that they're going to win.
Right.
But, I mean, the way Washington's, the Capitals, Ovechkin's their third leading scorer.
I know.
It's not like he's been Alex Ovechkin, he's been very good. But, I mean, Kuznetsov is their leading scorer. He's over a point a game, 54 points in 53 games. Nicholas Backstrom is over a point a game. He's got 52 and 50. So when Ovechkin is your third leading scorer, it just goes to show you just how good Backstrom, Kuznetsov, and the Capitals have been all season
long. And Alexander Ovechkin, historically hasn't had the assist totals and all that. But needless to say, if Alexander Ovechkin is your third leading scorer, your team is pretty darn good. Well, we talked about it. I mean, they're going to win the President's Trophy, barring some type of crazy collapse.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a tough team to play in the playoffs. Absolutely true.
I mean, they are the favorite in the East. I don't think there's any question about that. Let me ask you before we head to break in a couple minutes here. With Holtby's performance this year, is he your starting goaltender for Team Canada at the World Cup?
Yes.
Over Price.
And I would say, I would say right now the way he's playing, he's certainly going to be one of the goalies.
Well, that's no question.
And he's going to be one of the goalies in the 2018 Olympics. Let's be honest, they're going to the Olympics.
I think they are as well.
Right? So that you're talking about the future of Canadian goaltending, or the present, I guess, of Canadian goaltending is Holtby and Price. And whether it's Marc-Andre Fleury or Corey Crawford there as the third goaltender, it's a pretty good set of goalies. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely, if you want to look ahead to this fall at the World Cup, Holtby and Price will be battling it out for number one goalie.
And who do you go with? I'm putting you on the spot.
I like Holtby. I like Price. It's tough to not go with Price, especially, winning the gold at the last Olympics.
Let me ask you this,
though. Regardless, the goaltending is not going to be an issue.
No, it's a good problem for Team Canada to have. But with Price, there's questions about if he's going to return this year. He hasn't played in so many months.
I hope he returns this year.
I don't think he's going to.
It's not going to be good for Montreal if he doesn't.
Well, I think Montreal's going to throw in the towel on the season, and they're going to avoid any additional injury to Carey Price is what I think is going to happen. But given that he won't have played for so many months in an actual game action, is that give you pause to giving him the job over Braden Holtby?
Well, I mean, we're talking about, what, 6 months from now?
Yeah, well, we're talking about September, yeah.
Right, so I mean...
But a goaltender who hasn't played a meaningful NHL game since, what, when did Price last play, really, any significant time? November?
Yeah, so...
So you're talking it'll be, you know, 10 months?
Well, sure. Again, we don't know if Carey Price is coming back yet this year, Drew, but if it turns out that Carey Price hasn't played a meaningful game before the World Cup, yeah, you'd probably give the nod to Braden Holtby.
Let's head to break. We come back. One final segment. It's called Rapid Fire. You know it. You love it. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're on the Curve. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Hit me with the horn, 20.
One final segment this Saturday morning here on TSN 1290 alongside Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can reach us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is, of course, IllegalCurve.com. In case you missed any of the program, it'll be available for download later on TSN1290.ca and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. A big thank you to our guest from earlier in the day, Michael Trakos of Post Media News, Andrew Gross of the Record newspaper in New Jersey, and Dave Jamieson from TSN 1260 in Edmonton. One final segment on this Saturday morning. It's called Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
Ezzy, with Rapid Fire this week, we start with Ryan Murray of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He gets signed to a 2-year, $5.65 million contract extension. 4 goals, 13 assists in 55 games this season. He was the number 2 overall pick in the 2012 draft. Your thoughts on this 2-year contract extension for Ryan Murray?
Drew, not surprised at all that they went with the bridge deal and not a long-term contract, just because I don't think that the Columbus Blue Jackets have seen enough of Ryan Murray to give him, for example, a 6-7-8-year deal, right?
Sure.
So when I saw that Columbus had signed him to the 2-year deal, it wasn't a shock at all to me. And, you know, they get him at a pretty reasonable average annual value. I mean, Ryan Murray is obviously a guy that they have very high hopes for, and he factors into the future of the Columbus Blue Jackets. This has been a completely ridiculously bad season for the Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, having to fire Todd Richards, 3-4 weeks into the season. Columbus, the best part of Columbus's season is going to be at the end of it, and when they get a top 5 pick, that could be number 1. It's certainly not going to be any worse than number 4 or number 5, just because sure. Right now they're at the bottom of the standings. So Ryan Murray, though...
They're in 27th now, so you know, go Blue Jackets.
Yeah, by the end of the year, they'll probably be a little bit lower than that, I'd expect. But Ryan Murray, you know, you talk about a guy who has such a high upside, only 22 years old. The guy can skate like the wind. You know, he can shoot the puck. He's good defensively. But again, he's been injured so much, Drew, in the first 3 years of his season. Not this year. He's played every single game this year. But last year and the year before, you know, he missed a lot of time with various injuries. So, you know, it makes sense that they're signing him to a 2-year contract because of the fact that he just hasn't played much over the last 3 years. And, you know, again, I think his upside is very high. You know, when you look at that draft, if you redid that draft, he might go number 1 before Nail Yakupov.
Yeah, I mean, then there's the thought that he should have all along, especially given that the Oilers' needs at that point in time were definitely more on the defensive side than they were with another scoring forward. But both those players haven't worked out. Yakupov and Murray haven't worked out exactly how the teams would have hoped early on in their NHL careers. La Presse newspaper in Montreal has reported on Friday that Carey Price, we just mentioned him in the previous segment, has a torn medial collateral ligament in his right knee, and he will miss the remainder of the season. Habs coach Michel Therrien called the report speculation and said that the Canadian star goalie is working hard to return to action. The source for La Presse goes on to say that the team won't admit the injury because of fears that fans will have given up on the season for the Habs. given where the Canadians currently stand right now in these standings, are those fears slightly unfounded that most fans in Montreal have probably already given up on the season?
Well, I don't know if they've given up on the season. What are they, 6 points out of a playoff spot right now? 5 points out of a playoff
spot?
5 points
out of a playoff spot, but both Boston and Pittsburgh have games in hand on them.
You can still make that up. I mean, I think right now I would still think that the Montreal Canadiens are focused on just one game at a time getting points. But look at Drew. I mean, you're obviously going to have the team denying that. But if Carey Price doesn't come back this season, not only do they probably miss the playoffs, but they're not going to win a game in the playoffs or a series, certainly. Mm-hmm. So they need him back. And, you know, Ben Scrivens has done a nice job. He got a win, you know, recently against the Edmonton Oilers. Or was it the Toronto Maple Leafs? I forget. He's done a nice job there. And Mike Condon.
Edmonton Oilers it was.
Yeah, it was against the Oilers. So, you know, Mike Condon's done a nice job there along with Ben Scrivens. But, I mean, let's be honest. They need Carey Price back if they have any shot at making here. And, you know, if he isn't healthy, and they feel that bringing him back would put him at risk of re-injuring himself, they're not going to bring him back. But, you know, certainly this season has quickly fallen apart for the Montreal Canadiens. At the beginning of the season, with this team going 9-0, I don't think anybody expected this to happen, even with Carey Price injured.
Sure. Anaheim Ducks winger Chris Stewart was sent home Friday morning back to Anaheim after a fight he was in Columbus against Dalton Prout. Speculation is that Chris Stewart broke his jaw in the fight, which is a pretty good knockout by Prout in that case. How significant of a loss is it for the Ducks, who've been playing good hockey as of late, to lose Chris Stewart?
Well, Chris Stewart struggled at the beginning of the season, and he started to put the puck in the net a little bit as of late. So, I mean, Chris Stewart's a guy that, you know, he's in your bottom six, but if you need to put him up on one of the top two lines, you can. Probably not, but it's a significant loss. It's not something that's going to necessarily set them back and cause them to miss the playoffs. But, you know, he was a guy that they signed in the offseason with high hopes. And, you know, as I said, he started to come around a little bit as of late. So it's one of those guys that just hurts your depth. But, you know, the Anaheim Ducks have a lot of good forwards, and I think they're going to make the playoffs still.
It was announced earlier in the week that the 2017 NHL draft will be held in Chicago the very first time. Yeah, you and me, we both love it. It's a great city to visit, June 23rd, 24th. As always, you can expect the Legal Curve will be on site in Chicago for it. The Blackhawks get the draft. The Los Angeles Kings, they get the All-Star game. Reports earlier had been that the Toronto Maple Leafs, 2017 will be their 100th year celebration. It'll be their centennial anniversary. Reports had that the Leafs wanted the draft, the All-Star game, and the Winter Classic. Are you surprised that the Leafs only end up with one of those three?
Not really. And, you know, Chicago, by the way, I mean, you mentioned it's one of the best cities in North America.
Yeah.
They've never hosted the draft, as you mentioned.
Surprised that they've never hosted the draft.
And
also,
if I'm not mistaken, they've got the NFL draft as well in Chicago, don't they?
I think they had it there last season. I'm not sure where the upcoming NFL draft is, but you know, that's a good question.
I thought it was next year.
It could very well be in Chicago. I know it was last season, but it could very well be there that it's there for 2 years.
Well, look, it's great for us. We can drive there. It's close enough to drive. But, sure. I mean, back to your question, though, about Toronto, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you are correct, Ezzy. It is in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Toronto not getting it, maybe they get the 2018 draft. A Canadian city hasn't hosted the draft since, I believe, 2009.
Is that the Montreal draft?
It was. So I would expect the next draft after Chicago to be in a Canadian city, just because it hasn't been in a Canadian city in quite some time. Whether that's Toronto or, you know, Vancouver, another city, I'm not sure. So I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing for the city of Toronto. I mean, there's going to be some awesome celebrations there for their 100th year anyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Ezzy, cheer or jeer?
I don't have anything planned.
No, of course not, because we only do it every single
show. Well, I usually have something planned, so, I mean, unless you have one for me here, I'm going to cheer Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
you know,
I knew that was coming from a mile away.
If you've got a loved one, I hope you treat him or her very nicely, and, you know, enjoy it. Be safe and don't drink or drive.
Way to mail that cheer or jeer in there. That was really well done. I'm going to cheer really the hockey world. Ira Podell is a hockey writer for the Associated Press.
Yep.
And last year, last spring, he suffered a brain tumor and a subsequent stroke that has left him fighting for life. There was a GoFundMe drive for Ira Podell to help offset many of the costs. The hockey world stepped up huge in donating money. They raised the they set the goal of $30,000 for the GoFundMe account. They were able to reach that goal. Shout out to the New York Rangers who donated $5,000. The NHLPA donated $2,000. So time and again, when there's somebody in the hockey world that is needing some help, the hockey world steps up. So our best out to Ira Podell and a cheer to everybody who was, you know, throwing some money and raise money for him in his long fight back from a stroke and a tumor. And we wish him all the best in that fight. That's it for this Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Riverview Health Center Foundation, Cycle on Life, Keener Jerseys, and the Rady Fitness Center. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. In case you missed any of the show, it'll be up on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on IllegalCurve.com. Big props to Rory for doing his great job behind the board today. For my colleague, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for both Manitoba Moose and Winnipeg Jets hockey later today on TSN 1290.
As long as we stick together, the team will be all right.